One of the world's biggest trade deals inked today in Tokyo. Live from London, this is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Anu Anand. Good morning. Dubbed Cars for Cheese, a new Japan-EU deal signed moments ago creates an open market of 600 million people and will represent a whopping 40% of global trade once it goes into effect. Here's European Council President Donald Tusk.
We are putting in place the largest bilateral trade deal ever. We are sending a clear message that we stand together against protectionism.
Well, Hosok Lee Makiyama is director of the European Center for International Political Economy.
90% of the tariffs will be reduced to zero. And this is arguably a more considerable win for Japan than the EU, simply because EU actually has quite high tariffs against third countries. Japan has promised to open up its agriculture markets on products where Europe is particularly competitive, for example, wine and also dairy products. And Europe will receive generous quota on this product, as well as beef and pork, where European farmers is actually competing against the United States.
Do you think that this is going to make, in Japan, people happy about free trade, or is it actually going to cause angst because the competition then affects Japanese farmers?
If you look at the TPP agreement the United States decided to withdraw from, they go to what the Japanese call the sacred crops, for example, rice, whereas Europe is asking for trade liberation in products that Japanese farmers usually don't produce. So actually, the European deal is much more preferred. Protectionism is what I would call a European or perhaps an American disease nowadays. Japanese are basically in favor of free trade. They see them as something that is absolutely necessary to sustain growth and jobs.
So what does this trade deal mean for the US?
Japan in general had one chance of agriculture reform in 20, 30 years time period. When the United States decided to back out of the TPP deal, Europe got the chance and Japan also got a much easier deal. The ship has sailed in terms of a free trade agreement between United States and Japan for at least this political cycle, simply because there is no room to push through another agriculture reform in Japan.
Hosok Lee Makiyama. Let's do the numbers. European stock markets are little changed. Energy firms led a sell-off in Asia as oil prices fell for a second day. Now, Amazon's workers in Germany, Spain, and Poland are striking today as the world's largest e-commerce retailer runs a massive promotion. Lena Widman is a union rep for Amazon at Verdi in Germany, its biggest market outside the US.
First of all, it's the wages. They used to be very, very low, like just above poverty. But they've improved a lot since we started striking. Now Amazon raises its wages every year or so. Also, the physical challenges that the workers are facing every day. They have to walk like 20 kilometers every day. It's heavy lifting. It's very monotonous.
Now, Amazon says it pays competitively just over $14 an hour or more after 2 years. So from their point of view, they're doing what they should be.
Well, we're looking for a wage level that is between 10 and 20% higher than what Amazon is paying. But it's not only about the wages. It's simply about paying respect and giving the workers the recognition that they deserve. And what Amazon is doing right now is just like not listening.
So it almost sounds like a cultural clash. This American retailer comes in and you're trying to get them used to what German workers expect.
This is exactly what it's about. It's not only about wages, but it's also about respect, recognizing unions as a bargaining partner.
Lena Widman. Pakistan's economy is in major trouble, with speculation that the country may ask the IMF for a bailout. And there's an election next week. Khurram Hussain is business editor at Dawn, Pakistan's oldest English language newspaper in Karachi.
Pakistan's economy has been going through short bursts of growth followed by a big bust for almost 30 years now. And Pakistan has been to the IMF more than a dozen times since 1988. So basically what's happening is what's been happening all along.
Now, I also read, Khurram, that 1% of Pakistanis pay tax. I mean, in neighboring India, it's only 4%. So, you know, is that part of it too, that the corruption and the low tax receipts are also contributing.
Corruption is definitely a problem in Pakistan, but not any more of a problem than it is in many other countries in the world. In reality, it's the low tax to GDP base and the very low levels of productivity in the Pakistani economy, meaning that 40 years ago, our major exports consisted of cotton. Today, that situation hasn't changed. If your economy is growing, but your revenues are not keeping pace with that growth, then the requirements of a growing economy are not going to be met either.
In January, President Trump cut military aid to Pakistan. He says that Islamabad supports militant groups in Afghanistan. Does that have any impact on Pakistan's larger economy?
Yes, it does. It has an indirect impact in the sense that so long as Pakistan's relations with the United States are strained, foreign investors, foreign creditors begin to become very wary of either investing in Pakistan's economy or in its external credit. American displeasure reflects itself in the IMF as well, where the United States has a huge voice in the design of the program and how tough the IMF is going to be. And in the past, we have seen that whenever Pakistan's relations with America have turned bad, the relations with the IMF have also suffered, and the IMF has started adopting a tougher stance towards Pakistan.
That's Khurram Hussain of the Dawn newspaper in Karachi. And in London, I'm Anu Anand with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky, too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.